Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At the time to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your phone and mute your phone and record your name when prompted. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. May I introduce your speaker for today, James Barber. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you everyone today for joining. Angela, would you like to start our...
Yeah, so thank you everyone for joining the 2020 Demand Response Auction Mechanism Pre-Bidders Webinar Conference. And so I wanted to kind of go over the agenda today and kind of walk you through what we're planning to present and then go a little bit on the housekeeping items. So we'll start off with our introduction and overview. Talk about the housekeeping items on how to conduct during the webinar and how we'll be taking questions. We'll go into the bid valuation selection and then talk about the different RFO bid materials for the specific RFO. And then we'll also go through Exhibit F, which is the qualifying capacity exhibit that was filed, and we'll go over a little bit of that. And then each respective IOU will talk about their specific IOU offer forms. After each section, we actually will leave some time for closing remarks. And please, you know, hold on to any questions that you might have towards the end of each section. And so for the time being, if we can turn to the next slide. We did wanted to kind of go over the conference scope and just logistics of how we'll operate. So one, we're not going to discuss any other DR or demand response programs that's currently being managed by a utility. That completely is not the appropriate forum to discuss these matters. Housekeeping items, please remain on mute until after each individual speaker has completed their portion in terms of presenting, and we will be queuing different questions, so feel free to also type in your question via Skype. So again, this conference is being moderated by an operator. We are being recorded, and there will be a lot of time and opportunity to ask any questions towards the end of each section. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn to the next slide. We will be introducing Crystal Needham from SEE. She is our SEE counsel who will be going over legal disclaimers and antitrust guidelines during this event.
Thanks, Angela. The antitrust guidelines should be complied with by all of the participants in today's meetings. You should avoid discussion of topics or behavior that would result in anti-competitive behavior, restraint of trade, conspiracy to create unfair or deceptive business practices, discrimination, allocation of production, imposition of boycotts, and exclusive dealing arrangements. Basically, this means just please refrain from talking about anything that might be competitively sensitive, any pricing strategies, any bidding strategies, anything that could be used to allow other participants in the call to predict your bidding behavior. The second disclaimer is about document conflicts. This presentation is a high-level summary of the requirements of the 2020 DRAM RFO and the DRAM materials. To the extent there are any inconsistencies between the information provided today and the requirements in the actual RFO materials, the RFO materials govern. Now I'll turn it back to Angela.
Thank you, Crystal. And then before we start, just wanted to give general guidance on this. So I will kind of talk through a little bit of the differences between the IOUs and the different websites. So just as a heads up, this is a joint IOU call where we have PG&E, SCG&E, and SCE represented. And so although this is a joint conference, I do want to remind folks that there are three different platforms to submit solicitation material. And so have posted on the presentation are the different sites for more information. All Q&As that apply to the three IOUs will be posted on each IOU site. So we will be doing a FAQ and posting all this information by October 31st on all the different IOU websites. As a reminder, the deadline to submit offers is November 7th. We do have our independent evaluator on the call today. So Keith is on the call. And if there's any other questions, comments, or concerns, please do note that we are recording this and also posting of this information is going to be on. And so the actual conference recording will be also posted. With that, I'm going to go ahead and present this, give it over to Dan Wilson.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dan Wilson with San Diego Gas and Electric, and we'll be going over the overview segment of the presentation. Okay, what is the DRAM RFO pilot? It originated as a CPUC staff proposal and the demand response OIR R13-09-011. Changed a few times, as you can see on your screen, finally ending this year with the decision 1907009. Originally, it was envisioned as a supply-side demand response approach for third parties, meaning that it provides a capacity payment, also referred to as resource adequacy, for demand response aggregators. These aggregators participate directly in the CAISO markets with customers in the IOU service area. It was also envisioned as an alternative to the bilateral aggregator-managed portfolio contracts and other IOUDR offerings. It was also envisioned as a vehicle to encourage new participants in the demand response market. The 2020 DRAM has a 10% set-aside limited to new market entrants, which is new this year. There is a standard contract for RA. There's no bilateral negotiations allowed on this contract. And the capacity may vary from month to month for delivery during one or more of the months from June to December 2020. So underline in bold, deliveries do not start until June of 2020 for this program. The budgets for Edison are $5.16 million. PG&E is $5.7 million. And SDG&E is $1.92 million. Okay, capacity product definitions. There's the system capacity, which is an IOU-wide, must be bid into CAISO. CAISO's must offer obligation in the day-ahead or real-time market as a proxy demand response resource. Products can also include flexible capacity, categories 1, 2, and 3. These must bid into the day-ahead and real-time energy market and able to ramp and sustain energy output for a minimum of 3 hours and must be a PDR. It addresses variability. This product addresses variability and unpredictability created by intermittent resources and also must be CAISO must offer obligation for flexible resources. You can see down there below the solicitation this cycle will not be soliciting for local, and we'll cover that a little bit later in the presentation. Okay, the general bid can have any type of customer included. The customers can use on-site renewable or energy storage to provide load reductions. Customers are allowed to have backup fossil generation, but they cannot use it for DRAM load reductions. And the seller is responsible for enforcing this requirement as dictated in Article 7 of the pro forma contract. And please note that this language is subject to change per commission resolution, prohibited resources. Okay, roles and responsibilities. CAISO. CAISO receives a product registration from a demand response provider. receives bidding and scheduling activity from the scheduling coordinator. It operates the market and dispatches resources and determines performance and settlement in conjunction with the scheduling coordinator. The roles for the scheduling coordinator, it can act as a demand response provider to bid a proxy demand response into the CAISO market. Sellers will be required to use CAISO qualified scheduling coordinators to conduct market and business transactions with CAISO. Scheduling coordinator also facilitates the DRP scheduling and bidding activity with CAISO, facilitates settlement and calculation of baselines and performance, and the scheduling coordinator will handle business relationships and transactions with CAISO. Provide information should there be an IOU audit of the demonstrated capacity. And we've provided a link for you below for the 2020 scheduling coordinator aggregated information packets. I'll give you more information on being a scheduling coordinator. Furthermore, wholesale demand response provider or aggregator, their responsibility is to submit resource registration to CAISO consisting of unique customers. They must also submit the customer information service request for demand response provider for each service account to authorize IOUs to release that customer's data. And they must meet the CAISO's minimum per proxy demand resource demand response requirements. Okay, roles and responsibilities for the seller. Must abide by all provisions of the DRAM purchase agreement. Provides required security, posting to buyer per contract. Must submit the qualifying capacity information roughly 75 days prior to the delivery month and a supply plan roughly 60 days prior to the delivery month. They work with the scheduling coordinator to provide statement of demonstrated capacity and also work with the SC if there is an audit of demonstrated capacity. They provide required registration data for residential DRAM resources. They must comply with CAISO market rules. This is the demand response registration system and resource adequacy. Must also comply with the CPUC resource adequacy rules and Rule 24 tariff. The seller must work with customers or aggregators to provide load reduction. And they must work with the scheduling coordinator to bid DRAM resources via the appropriate CAISO product and market and comply with CAISO must offer obligation. They receive the meter data, must receive the meter data for settlement from the investor-owned utility per authorization provided in the customer form and settles with the customers and scheduling coordinator to retain earnings from market participation. Here we included a graphic for the participation of all the parties. The third party direct participation, I guess is what we're calling it. The seller aggregates customers from the DRAM resource. The seller participates directly into the CAISO market through the scheduling coordinator. The dispatches and settlements are between the CAISO and the seller's scheduling coordinator. All earnings in the CAISO market go to the seller and the seller's customer. There's no IOU involvement in those earnings. For RA, the seller provides the supply plan to the IOU 60 days prior to the month of delivery. The seller also provides qualifying capacity information to the IOU roughly 75 days prior to the month. Seller also provides the demonstrated capacity through the scheduling coordinator to the IOU at the end of the month. Okay, the buyer responsibilities, they must provide or abide by the provisions of the DRAM purchase agreement. The buyer claims RA credit for their demand resource provided by the seller. The buyer is not involved in the CAISO market settlements. They pay the seller all undisputed amounts for DR capacity after delivery month upon receipt of the statement of demonstrated capacity by the seller. The buyer has the right to audit capacity delivered under demonstrated capacity contract provisions, and the buyer receives product registration from the seller if it is bidding a DRAM residential resource. Customer data provision by the IOU, firewalled from the buyer. It validates customer eligibility upon receipt of the CISR DRP from the aggregator or demand response provider, and provides meter data to the aggregator per conditions of the CISR DRP and Rule 24/32.
Good morning. Keith Oliver with Merrimack Energy Group. In Merrimack, we are serving as IE on all three solicitations for each of the IOUs. Give general background on what our role is. So the role of the IE is to ensure reasonable and uniform treatment of all potential counterparties. By monitoring the IOU solicitation and discussion processes, monitoring the IOU valuation methodologies and selection processes, reviewing bids to ensure a competitive process and no market collusion or market manipulation by some sellers. As such, we'll be doing our own evaluation as well. And then at the end of the process, we'll be reporting to the commission on the auction process, writing a report that is submitted to the commission. The IE is privy to all offers. We're invited to participate in all discussions, review all bids, review bid scoring and selection, and must be copied on all correspondence between each IOU and the bidders. And you can see our emails down below, so you can use those going forward.
So at this point, we would like to open it up for questions from the participants.
Thank you. For the participants over the phone, if you want to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one on your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel your request, you may press star followed by the number two. Once again, for questions, that is star one and record your name. To cancel, that's star two. One moment, please, for our incoming questions. Excuse me, speakers, there are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, Nita, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Nita Arazi. I'm with Pacific Gas and Electric Company. I'm a principal product manager in the Integrated Grid Planning and Innovation Group. IOUs encourage women, minority, disabled veteran, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender business enterprises to participate in the DRAM RFO, according to General Order 156, adopted by the PUC in 1986, with electric procurement added in 2012. We promote greater competition among utility suppliers by expanding the available supplier base and to encourage greater economic opportunity for diverse business enterprises historically left out of utility procurement. This general order sets the rules governing the development of programs to increase participation of DBEs, which are diverse business enterprises, in procurement of contracts from utilities as required by CPUC code. We have websites listed here for any additional information, and feel free to ask us any additional questions through the DRAM RFO inboxes for each utility. Bids must comply with all of the requirements of the RFO as defined in the protocols. Any bids with conformance-related issues will be discussed with the independent evaluator, and the goal is that to ensure all bidders are treated in a fair manner. There will be a cure period to address conformance-related issues as applicable. During this period, bidders will only be allowed to address specific data items that have been identified by the IOUs as requiring revisions. No other data items or fields will be permitted to be modified at that point. Bidders will not be allowed to correct pricing level unless specifically requested by the IOU during the cure period. It is the responsibility and duty of the seller to fully accept risk for pricing and developing their project. Failure to respond to inquiries by the IOUs regarding incomplete or incorrect information could result in disqualification from the RFO. The independent evaluator will review and validate methods of processing the bid information and evaluating offers to ensure that the valuation is done fairly with no preferential treatment to any bidder. Affiliate bids, if any, will be closely examined during the evaluation offer process to ensure the offers are evaluated in the same manner as other offers, although this will likely not be a problem in this RFO. All communications and negotiations will be closely monitored and assessed by the independent evaluator to ensure no preferential terms and conditions are included in the offer. And please make sure to CC the independent evaluators in all email communications with IOUs regarding the RAM RFO process. In accordance with Energy Division guidance, DRAM offers will be selected according to the following method. Offers will first be ranked by net market value, which is adjusted for qualitative criteria. This is an assessment of the offer's benefits minus the offer's costs, adjusted for qualitative criteria that we'll discuss in the next slide. IOUs will not select offers that an aggregate of all contracts will exceed their authorized budget, and this budget includes both contract costs and administrative costs. The IOUs may elect to not select an offer if the offer's price is above the long-term avoided cost of generation, or one or more of the monthly capacity prices of the offer are outliers. Any elections to not select such offers will be made in consultation with the procurement review group, which I'll discuss in a few slides, and with approval of the Energy Division. Qualitative scoring matrix lists out each of the qualitative criteria that each IOU is applying to the DRAM RFO. The criteria are listed on the left, and the response to the questions based off of an answer yes or no has a certain value associated to it under the score. The weights listed are for each IOU such that if you answered yes to any question, you would take the first criteria, you would take one, multiply that by the weight, and you would get a weighted score. The following criteria will be used in this solicitation. The first criteria is, will your DRAM resource require any permits, interconnection agreements, environmental studies, or additional land rights prior to operation? This only applies to San Diego Gas and Electric and has a benefit of 3%. Criteria two, is there any ongoing investigation or was there an adverse finding that occurred within the last 5 years with respect to any alleged violation of any rule, regulation, or law associated with any commodity, security, environmental, or financial market regarding any DR services you were or are providing? This applies to both SDG&E and SCE, 3% weight. If you're a certified small business, there's 1% benefit. If you are in PG&E territory. Are you going to use enabling technology with at least 90% of the customers comprising your proxy demand resource customers? That's a 3% criteria weight for San Diego Gas and Electric. Do you expect a majority of your resource customers to emit GHG emissions? That includes batteries charging from the grid are not 100% efficient, and so they need more charging energy than discharge energy, therefore causing GHG emissions as opposed to digital thermostats that do not materially cause GHG emissions. This is a criteria that applies to San Diego Gas and Electric with a 3% weight. Next two criteria are related to your prior performance in prior DRAM RFOs and have a total weight of 20%. If either of these two conditions, have you willfully terminated or defaulted on your most recent DRAM PA, or have you submitted offers that demonstrate bidding behavior providing clear evidence of market manipulation or collusion, if either of those criteria are met, all three IOUs will increase the cost of your offers by 15%. And the final two, have you not signed a DRAM PA when extended a shortlist offer on your most recent submitted offer, or if you currently have or previously had a 2019, a 2018 to 2019, or a 2017 DRAM contract, have you delivered supply plans to the IOUs for DRAM totaling in aggregate less than 50% of your contracted capacity for all months in your most recent DRAM contract term at the time of offer submittal? The answer, if you answer yes to either of those two questions, that'll be a 5% increase in your cost. And by most recent, that means if you had a 2019 DRAM contract and a 2017 DRAM contract, your 2019 contract would be applicable for this, not your 2017 results. Each IAU has a procurement review group, a PRG, and all the IAUs share the independent evaluator. Will be assisting with all DRAM RFOs, and they will be producing a report at the end of this RFO. The PRG includes members of the CPUC's Energy Division, Public Advocates Office, Utility Reform Network, and other interveners. The PRG oversees the procurement processes of all three IOUs, and during the course of the RFO, the IE will be reporting on the progress and any issues on this RFO to the PRG. Public and confidential independent evaluator reports will follow the required IE template guidelines. And these reports are filed at the CPUC with the request for contract approval from the CPUC. These are expected to be in January 10, 2020. Any questions?
Once again, for questions over the phone, you may press star 1 and record your name when prompted. To cancel, that star 2. There are no questions in queue at this time, speakers.
To answer, we have some questions online. First one, does this process include businesses such as architects? If I interpret the question correctly, I'm assuming you mean building envelope design and things like that. I would say that this program is not targeted for that kind of activity. It's more of a performance or a existing behavioral adjustment to your power consumption target. I hope that answers your question.
And speakers, we do have one question in queue, and this comes from Jeff Gild. Jeff, your line is now open, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. I think you're probably about to answer it. I posted it on the chat also, but it was about the scoring matrix, and it looked like some of the responses, if answered yes, would have a negative weighting, but it was a positive percentage. So can you explain how that would actually score? I quite understand that.
Hi, Jeff. Yes, that is correct. Some of them have a positive impact on your ranking, and some have negative. We did not list that here, so we will please refer to each IAU's protocol, and they list whether it's a positive or negative ranking. If you have any specific questions about one of them, I can help answer them here. So the last two are negative. Small business for PG&E is a positive. And I'll let the other IAUs add in whether it's positive or negative ranking.
So down the list here. For SDG&E, will the DRAM resource require any permits, interconnection agreements, environmental studies, et cetera? Answering that question as a yes is an adder to the cost, so it's a negative. And for just, are you going to enable or use enabling technology with at least 90% of customers comprising your PDR customers? That one, the cost adder answer is a no. So if you answer no to that question, it will be considered an additive cost. The expected majority of your resource customers to emit GHG emissions. Again, that answer, if you answer in yes, that's a cost adder.
And then for the ongoing investigation, that is a negative if you answer yes to that question.
Oh, I think I missed the right question.
Just rounding out the conversation for SCE, to clarify, rows we have weight, they are negative.
Okay, so it seems like it's consistent. It's all these, if it's a yes, Or it seems like if you answer yes, and it's, I don't want to confuse it, but it adds cost. So
it look in the columns under score, yes and no. If it's a 1 in that under yes, then it adds cost for the yes response. If it's a 1 under the no column, then it adds cost for a no response.
Okay, thanks. That clarifies it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Liesl Reyes. Your line is now open.
Hi. Can you hear me? Oh, sorry. Let me just speak. My question, I was the one that posed the question about the architects. I just wanted to make sure that I was on this participating, that my company actually is an architectural firm. We had worked with SDG&E on a design of one of their spaces, and I just wanted to find out and make sure that this actually applies to businesses like that.
It only applies, it doesn't apply in the design phase. If I'm interpreting your question correctly, when you say architect, I think the design phase of a building, it doesn't really apply there. It's a program designed to incentivize people to save energy that they would have otherwise used during certain periods of high demand.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then I think that this doesn't apply to my company.
Skype. We'll go ahead and read it. So the question on Skype is, can the IOUs give any indication of how much their respective DRAM budgets will be available for contracts as opposed to admin?
For PG&E, it'll be a small amount. We don't publish that information at this time.
For SCE, all we can defer to is what's posted, and so we were given a $5.16 million budget for the commission, so at this time, similar to what PG&E has said.
And San Diego Gas and Electric concurs with those positions.
Next, Skype question. Okay, seems like we don't have any other Skype questions. So with that, and if there's no other questions on the call and queue, we'll go ahead and move to the next section.
Great. Hi, everyone. My name is Wen Liao, and I'm with the Contract Origination Group at Southern California Edison. I'll be walking through some of the latest information on the 2019 DRAM. So on this next slide, you'll see that we highlighted for you some of the changes that's in this round of the grant solicitation, and some of them we already covered, so I'm not going to go into great detail, but specifically we're only looking for system and flex, not local this time around. There will be a 10% new entrance set aside. Also, we will not be procuring the RDRRs, and we'll only be looking at PDRs. Next, we will be eliminating the use of the August bid price. And lastly, as we've discussed previously, there are updates to the qualitative criteria, which we covered. I think if you wanted more details on any of these, I would encourage you to reference the decision D19-07-009, where it talks about all these changes and the reasons. I would encourage you to take a look at that. Next one, just so that everyone is aware, there will be an inclusion of the qualifying capacity assessment, which we will be walking through later on in the presentation. And next one on the showing months, we already talked about this, but it will be between June to December 2020, so that'll be 7 months. And lastly, we've highlighted below for you the budget that's authorized for each of the IOUs. On the next slide is the RFO schedule. And so I really just wanted to highlight for you two critical dates, one of them being Thursday, November 7th, which is the deadline for the RFO bid submission. And just so that everyone's aware, please see each IOU's RFO instructions, as the timing and protocol might be slightly different, but the date is the same. And secondly, the date that we will be providing bidder selection will be on Tuesday, December 10th, and thereafter there will be dates for us to seek approval from the CPUC. Again, if there are any detailed Please refer to the ARFO instructions for each IOU for more detailed instructions and dates. And on the next slide. Here we've outlined some of the information that's needed for a successful offer. And so, again, please read each of our instructions and protocols and know when the deadlines are. And also, there are frequently asked questions from previous FRAM solicitations, which will be a helpful reference. And lastly, after you reviewed all the documents, and if you still have questions, please email us at each of the emails listed on this page. Please note that for Southern California Edison, we will only be taking questions through the Power Advocate website. And so please refer to our ARFO instructions for detailed instructions on how to get there. And lastly, as a reminder, please do CC the independent evaluators, Wayne and Keith, on all your correspondences with us. Thank you. Okay.
I'm Rafael Ahmed with the Southern California Edison origination team. I'll be taking the next couple slides here. Purchase agreement highlights those of you who participated in DRAM before. The substance and structure should be similar to past agreements. Modifications were made in line with the decision. So just highlighting the basic structure, I would endorse all DRPs and potential respondents to this DRAM RFO to examine the pro forma agreement before submitting bids so you can understand and also ask questions during this period where all the IOUs will be answering pertinent questions. So Article 1, transaction, details the type of products here, residential non-res, system and flex capacity, and a demonstrated capacity diagram. Article 3, seller obligations, supply plan, example in Exhibit D, the 60 days prior to the delivery month, qualified capacity QC info due roughly 75 days before delivery month, highlighting RA obligations and mandatory testing. Article 4, payment and billing, indicates invoicing, including demonstrated capacity in a form similar to Exhibit C1, C2. Article 5, credit collateral, due within 10 days after contract execution. Article 7, representations, warranties, covenants, indicates prohibited resources. Article 13.1, confidentiality, and then highlighting the particular exhibits which would be used throughout the performance of the DRAM contract if you were to be awarded. Now, we highlighted just at a high level certain articles. Again, I would endorse all respondents thinking about participating or submitting a offer to look through the purchase agreement and understand it. Those of you who participated in other DRAM RFOs, structure should be similar, and just be aware of the modifications coming out for the decision. Prohibited resources pertaining to DRAM 5, again, along the same theme of the previous slide, please be aware of language in the purchase agreement surrounding prohibited resources. We highlight it here in the webinar. So Section 7.2 B&B, Section 9.1 B&B, Exhibit A, address the prohibited resources policy and verification plan requirements. Exhibit A contains a definition of the prohibited resources. Section 7.2 BBA contains requirements to include a provision in contracts with residential customers forbidding the use of prohibited resources to reduce load during a DR event. Again, referencing Section 7.2 in the next handful of bullets here. Obtain requirements to obtain and update attestations from non-res customers. And the next bullet, including Section 9.1 BB, addresses consequences of violations. Section 7.2 contains requirements for audit verification plan. And last bullet here contains requirements for metrics and targets. plot plan requirements if a respondent was to be awarded a DRAM purchase agreement, supply plan requirements. It's really how you convey the RA product to the IOUs. The IOUs expect respondents to provide resource IDs, NQC values, and year-ahead supply where applicable. We did talk about for this DRAM, because of the timing of the launch, we will not be able to incorporate, at least for DRAM 2020, for the year-ahead supply plan. So you are looking at month-ahead supply plan obligations. And other relevant information about the resources in a form substantially similar to Exhibit D in the purchase agreement. This information is needed both for year-ahead RA compliance, again, not applicable for this solicitation, this DRAM 2020 RFO. It is only going to be monthly RA compliance here. The QC information is also due 10 business days before supply plan information. Those of you who participated in previous DRAMs, something that is new stemming from the decision, so please be aware of this additional information, QC or qualified capacity information, due 10 business days before supply plan information. All values on the supply plans and in offer forms submitted by respondents should be entered in the nearest hundredth of the megawatt. I've included an example here, 5.21 megawatts, not 5.208. I do want to reiterate for DRAM 2020 RFO, again, this is for month ahead supply plan, not applicable for year ahead. We highlighted in the previous slide what the specific exhibits are. This is how you convey for the month ahead supply plan and also invoicing moving forward. First off, we'll talk about Exhibit C1, Notice Demonstrate Capacity. The form is very similar to past DRAM purchase agreements, so please reference this and be aware, as this is a material exhibit in the DRAM contract. Exhibit C2, Notice of Demonstrated Capacity. Again, for demonstrated capacity, I didn't highlight in the previous slide, but you have three areas where you would fill this out. Just want to highlight it. Capacity test, the must offer obligation, and dispatch results. That is how you are going to convey performance of your demand response resource. So please be aware, and again, look at all the details associated with these exhibits. Exhibit D, form of notice of the showing month supply plan. This is due ahead of the showing month, call T-minus 60. You will be providing this to your IOU, who is party to the purchase agreement. And this is how you will be conveying the RA capacity available for the IOU to use for their monthly supply plans. Now, keys here as it relates to short-term requirements for respondents. We wanted to create a slide here depicting the comparison between the IOU's offer forms, valuations, and submission requirements. We are aligned on many items, but we did want to highlight a couple differences. We are all using PG&E SCE, San Diego Gas and Electric, our advocate for all IOUs. That will be the platform for which respondents submit their offers. The offer deadline time on November 7th is 1 p.m. Pacific time for PG&E. For SCE, it's running through the full day, so end of day on November 7th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. For San Diego Gas and Electric, it's 5 p.m. Pacific time, so close business for November 7th. The quantitative evaluation method, net market value for all IOUs. Qualitative factors that are included in the evaluation score based on the on the qualitative factors we reviewed earlier. There's several for all of the IOUs. Please be aware, we've highlighted that in the webinar earlier. Eligibility requirements. The number of bids and variations allowed is 20 for all IOUs. Maximum bid size per month, 10 megawatt maximum bid for PG&E and SCE, not applicable for San Diego Gas and Electric. The minimum bid size for PDR per month, not 0 kilowatts, 100 kilowatts for all IOUs. The August capacity being greater than 0 kilowatts required for each year's bid. Yes, that is required for all IOUs, so you'll need to include August capacity in any bid or bid variation. Minimum bid size required for all months for local capacity is not applicable. Again, that has to do with timing of the launch here and us not soliciting in this DRAM RFO the local tags associated with the RA. Offer forms and other information highlights, offer products, flex or system capacity, PDR, residential or non-residential customers, and just highlighting and reinforcing my last statement on the previous slide, not having a local product associated with this DRAM 2020 RFO. Expected number of Rule 24 service accounts expected per offer. Bidders may specify how many customers slash offer with our new Rule 24 service accounts and how many customers already have Rule 24 service accounts. Indication of what bids are exclusive or inclusive. Exclusive offers are exclusive of each other if two or more offers cannot both be awarded contracts in this RFO. Example here, offers 1 and 4 account cannot both be shortlisted as customers are the same. PG&E and SDG&E calls exclusive offers variations. Inclusive offers that are inclusive of each other means they all must be awarded contracts together. The example given here, offer 2 must be selected with offer 4 for SDE. Okay. Passing it back to Netta to walk us through Exhibit F.
Thanks. So there is one of the changes from the prior RFOs is that bidders are required to submit a qualifying capacity of QC assessment along with their bids. Pursuant to Decision 1907-09 as modified by Decision 19-09-041, the IOUs will be responsible for assessing the reasonableness of qualifying capacities of each bidder. Bidders are required to submit the QC estimates for each offer, and these estimates, as demonstrated by the sample template, are available on the DRAM RFO offer forms or other attachments depending on the IOU. Bidders shall base the estimates that they provide on historical information where available and otherwise publicly available performance data, and a failure to provide a QC estimate would disqualify the bidder's offer. The IOUs plan to evaluate the QC estimates for all shortlisted bids, to determine whether or not the offer has a reasonable chance of providing the QC bid. I'll go through the template itself now. Here we have the offer number column in the far left. So this will correspond to the offer number of your bid in your offer form. For SCE, for instance, it's on the same offer form. For PG&E, it's a separate document. And please keep them separate for PG&E. Items B1 to B7 is applicable if there are residential customers in the offer. And section C1 to C7 is applicable if there are non-residential customers in the offer. And we have segmented them out there. And then D is your estimated qualifying capacity, which you have a calculation here to provide. And this is applicable during the resource adequacy hours. If you need to segment out your offers, you can provide additional rows per offer, but you at least need one row per offer. Okay. In terms of the columns themselves, you have the nature of the load being aggregated, whether it's whole air, air conditioning load, storage, building pump, pumps, electric vehicles, or other, and has to describe that. In terms of the number of active service agreements registered with the ISO, that's in terms of your service accounts, if you're with SCE and SDG&E or service agreements for PG&E. You have the number of forecasted SAs. Those are the customers you have not yet registered with the ISO. Your total is the sum. In terms of load aggregation of the average service agreement of the customer class from a prior test or market dispatch, and this is where you're using historical information, where it's available, and if not, use publicly available performance data to best represent the anticipated performance of your resource. If you have any notes to provide, such as when you select other from B1 and B2, please put that information in that cell. For the non-res, same idea. We just have segmented out residential and non-residential. This is a sample, and there may be changes to this in terms of what is provided for the monthly QC assessments, but this is the one we're using for bids.
So let's go ahead and open it up to any questions. I know there's a lot of content there that was presented by Gwen, Rafe, and Netta. So, operator, do we have any questions on the call?
As of the moment, we don't have any question. Once again, for the participants, if you want to ask a question, you may press star 1 and record your name clearly when prompted to cancel that star 2. One moment, please, for our incoming questions.
Thank you, operator. So in the meantime, what we're going to do is we did have a couple of questions that came through on Skype, and so we'll read that out aloud. So the first question is Jeff Gill. Jeff's question is an offeror prohibited from stacking PDR with local capacity delivered through another procurement? So maybe if we can ask, I'm sorry, what was the name again?
Jeff,
if you could maybe come on the line and maybe add a little bit more context to your question.
Jeff isn't able to come on the line. More generally, you cannot buy the capacity in that you're awarded in a DRAM for other
purposes.
And please go ahead.
Excuse me, speakers. We have Jeff Gild on queue right now. Would you like to take his question?
Yes.
Thank you. Jeff, your line is now open.
Yeah, sorry. It took me a minute to get that going there. There's other procurements that are kind of bubbling up right now that have to do with, like, local kind of regional needs, you know, where there's maybe a feeder that's clogged or whatever that they're trying to alleviate from a locally. And those resources could potentially overlap with the demand response that someone could provide under this procurement. So just as far as aligning those things, is that allowable or is that not allowable? I don't quite understand how that might work or if it can't. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, this is Gene with SCE. So I mean I know that sort of value stacking and all that sort of thing is an interesting topic maybe that everyone is wrestling for. But I think at the base of it, what you kind of seem to be asking is, can we have the same, you know, the implication would be for the same resource, it would be covered under basically then like two different contracts, like a DRAM contract and a some kind of local liability contract, which in itself is, I'm not going to speak to value stacking or whether there are different benefits or anything like that, but just on the face of it, what you seem to be saying is, again, the implication would be the same resource under two different contracts with the IOU, which I would think would be problematic for a number of reasons. So, I mean, without like a specific example, I think that would be my initial response.
Yeah, Section 3.4C of the DRAM contract prohibits you from including any customer premises or resources in a PDR in the DRAM resources concurrently enrolled in or otherwise concurrently committed to any other essentially capacity product. And there's more detail in that section of the contract if you'd like to take a look at that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And speakers, there are no questions in queue at this time.
So, I'll read up the second question that we have on Skype. It's from Stephen Dorima. Regarding the new entrance set aside, if there is not 10% of bids from new entrants, what will that excess capacity / budget be reallocated to non-new entrant bidders?
If there are not enough bids to meet that requirement, then yes, we would be looking at non-new entrants to be able to exhaust the budgets allocated to each IOU. If there are sufficient new entrants bids that are available, we would be required to procure those. And then there's the requirement that we have the ability to reject offers that are outliers or otherwise above the long-run avoided cost of generation, but any such decisions to disqualify such offers would need to be made in conjunction with an approval from the Energy Division, and we would be sharing that information with the Procurement Review Group as well for making that decision. And the IE would be involved in all decisions associated to disqualification of all those offers as well.
Those are all the questions from Skype.
Okay, so we can go ahead and proceed through the next portion of the conference. So each respective IOU is going to go ahead and walk through their different DRAM offer forms. And so up first is PG&E. I'll introduce Mary Turner.
Hi, thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Turner with PG&E Demand Response Programs. I'll cover the offer form, which posted on our 2020 DRAM website, and I'm assuming most of you probably have already reviewed the website, but if you haven't, you can find it under the offer, you could find it under the DRAM protocols and document section of the website. The PG&E offer form does not include the QC template like the SC version, their template has. It is separate, it's a separate Excel template found under the same section of the DRAM website. I will go over each tab of the offer form that requires input and highlight certain fields in that tab that you should be aware of. And as we go through the slide, we'll stop for question at the end of the section once each IOU has provided their has presented on their offer form. So let's get started. So on this particular slide, this is the offer form instruction tab. The offer form will default to the instruction tab, and it's very important that you read this tab before getting started because you'll find yourself frustrated if you don't. You must submit the Excel version of the PG&E offer form. No other formats will be accepted. It's the form you will use to submit to Power Advocate. And I suggest you register Power Advocate in advance of the deadline. And you can only submit one offer form per participant. And we provide you 65 rows, but if you need more, you will need to contact the DRAM RFO and CC the independent evaluators, and we can enable more rows. An important thing to note about this workbook, is, like I said, is before you enter any information, you must enable the macros or the enable content. This will allow all the functions in the cell to work, and it will activate the conditional formatting. Okay. When completing the offer form, you want to refer to the section to the solicitation protocols to assist you in the form. So in this tab, you enter the participant information, such as bidder, scheduling information, and prior experience, and you'll agree to bound by the conditions of the RFO. For the acknowledgement section, which if you look at the PG&E protocol, section 11, you must select yes, which is the only option that you can select. That's a change we did this year. So basically, when you're selecting yes, you confirm you're a duly authorized representative. You attest that the info you provided in the offer form is correct, and you attest that you can perform all obligations under the purchase agreement and protocol, and that you certify that the name that you have typed in acts as the electronic signature. One important thing I'd like to point out there, as you can see, is that 47 out of 48 entries, it's at the top of the information tab. It's a validation field. You should take advantage of this field because this will indicate whether you have completed all the required fields. For in this example, it's 47 out of 48 entries are made. So it indicates to you that you have to go back through and to check if there are fields that are missing information. And one best way to really identify that is if the fields are still peach and did not turn mint green, then you know you have not completed the form. It's a freebie entry, so make sure you utilize that field. All right. The next slide. So this is still part of the participant information tab. So this contains the confidentiality protocols, which is section 6 of the protocol section of the PG&E protocol. It requires sign-off to attest and acknowledge that no bidder shall collaborate or discuss with any other bidder or potential bidders or potential bidder strategies, whether or any of the substance of the offer, whether PG&E has selected the offer or not. Okay. Let's move on. Okay, this is the actual offer information tab. So this says if you need assistance on how to enter information in this tab, you could refer to section 3 of the protocols for additional information. This tab is very similar to previous years. With the exception, we did delete it some columns, and it is a smaller period of 7 months. The top row provides example how to complete the offer form. And as mentioned previously, the maximum of the offers, 20 offers can be accepted per bidder. And similar to previous slides I mentioned, cells are peached then when they're incomplete, and they turn to mint green when you enter a value. And so like in example one, you can group an offer by numbering it, and you can have that same offer number on multiple rows for different products such as System or Flex. So basically it's kind of inclusive of each offer, but you're using the same offer number. Offer one is on multiple rows and should be considered as the same offer, part of the same offer. Similarly, with the exclusive offer, there are two offers on offer two and three. So their two offers are exclusive of each other, but they can't be both shortlisted. It's either one or the other, but they're exclusive, meaning they have variations of the same offer. At a minimum, each bidder must include a product for August 2020. And so just a reminder, this is not megawatts, this is a kilowatts. That's what you're entering in. Each resource must have at least 100 kilowatts per PDR, composed of either a same retail customer within the PG&E service territory and within the same CalISO sublap aggregation point. And the maximum per monthly is 10,000 kilowatts or 10 megawatts per offer. So please, I can't stress enough, please take the time to review your offer. The cure period is not for you to correct your offer. It's for you for what PG&E specifies you must correct. So let's move forward. Okay. Next slide. And then next slide is this supply chain responsibility. Neda spoke of the supplier diversity on the previous slide. So I always encourage women, minority, disabled veterans, and LGBT to participate in the GEM RFO. So you just indicate here that you are, whether you're certified and then, and your certification number. And then make sure you provide information on a diverse business entity subcontractors at the bottom. Okay, next slide. So this one's an optional tab. You're not required to enter, but it basically estimates the additional Rule 24 registration. And for, I guess, SDG&E has a Rule 32, but for PG&E, it's Rule 24, which governs how PG&E interacts with third-party customer information. So these are basically monthly estimates that serve as illustrative, but do not serve to limit the bid evaluation and selection. And I think that's it. And I'll hand it over to Angela.
Okay. Thank you. So I did want to go over a couple of elements for our offer form. One thing that varies is for SCE, we did include the estimated qualifying capacity template. And again, just as a disclosure and disclaimer, that this sample template is, you know, there but can be potentially modified by the commission at a later time. Our offer form is also an Excel spreadsheet format where the offeror is expected to put all information and that this is what will be used for evaluation. And so the estimated qualifying capacity template, we've put that and incorporated it into this, and I will later on at towards the end kind of go over a little bit about the validation piece. And how it connects to the actual offer form. Next slide. So there's a couple of tabs, as you can see. Towards the bottom of the screenshot, you'll see instructions, front page, RA offers, and then the, as I mentioned, estimate of qualifying capacity. Towards the top of the presentation, wanted to show that red box highlighted. So there's two distinguished colors. And so to note, our offer forms are protected. And so these fields are actually exceptions where you could input information. Please, as Mari also indicated, we put instructions and put some time to kind of develop that. A lot of the times you might have a question and get stuck, but please refer to the instructions page for more information if you're having any issues with validation messages, inputs on what you need to provide, and so forth. Next page. Moving on to the front page tab. So this is the second tab of the SEE offer form. Wanted to note that whatever you indicate at that very top kind of orangey looking item that says seller must match non-disclosure agreement exactly, kind of that arrow pointing there, we want to make sure that the seller name absolutely matches your non-disclosure agreement. It's going to save you guys a lot of heartache and time if those just match up, so please do that accordingly. Please enter your official buyer name, not a shortcut. You're looking really for your legal entity name, so please put that on there. With respect to credit rating, we want it to be S&P, Moody's or Fitch credit ratings only. So if there's anything aside from that, we will not accept that as a part of this solicitation. And then let's go ahead and play this video. So as you see on our offer form, right there, we're going to go ahead and put your name. You can do a drop-down button, select whether or not a system or flex, whether or not you're a residential customer. And then, again, the decimal places really have to be there's just two decimal places, and it's limited to that. Another piece is this inclusive exclusive form, as you'll see, there's an asterisk there. That needs to be replaced with an actual offer number. And as you'll see towards the end, there's this validation message, and what it should read is okay. And if it doesn't, as you can see on the screen, the validation message on the top says enter offers. And so you'll see exactly what it is that you're not doing. And so going back to that slide, the enter offers, that's the validation message, because we actually did not enter a specific field. And so just quick highlights for this slide. Remember, pricing is limited to 2 decimal places. Please make sure to replace the asterisk if you're going to have an inclusive or exclusive offer with the actual offer ID number. And then also, please verify the validation message. Now, what we didn't go through in this quick short video was the QC validation message. So it says QC pass, and this is a great segue to kind of go through SE's offer form in conjunction with the qualifying capacity tab. And so that would be the last tab. And moving on to the next slide, that QC validation message, going to the next slide. That QC validation message is relating to this form, as you can see. And so I'm not sure if you guys can see at the very top, but right there where it says QC pass, the QC validation message will indicate if the appropriate fields have been populated. And so, you know, at minimum, if you look at the formula up there, we're really looking for those 2 columns, whether it be for the residential or non-residential section. It's the total number of SAs as well as the kilowatt amount. And that concludes SCE's pretty much cohesive small summary of the offer form. With that, I'm going to go ahead and punt this over to SE's Jeannie.
Thanks. This is Dan Wilson with San Diego Gas and Electric. First off, we have our offer forms located on our RFO website as shown on our slides. Please ensure that you use these forms here and do not make any substitutions. The offer forms are down towards the bottom of the website, just to let you know that you have to scroll all the way down. Give you a cut and paste screen on this slide just to show you where to look. Slide, please. So our offer forms are in a pretty simple, straightforward tabular format, very similar to years past. Basically, you just enter all of your offers on subsequent rows. The information will help if you copy all the information for each row, although we could interpret if you submitted just your company's bid alone, of course, we could probably tell. But it'll help us during the evaluation process. The only complex piece of logic in here is the variation number. So if you're using the same resources for different offers, you want to make sure that use the same offer number, and then the variation will auto increment to tell us that they are exclusive from one another. Also, please, since this is a tabular format in Excel, please use some caution if you're using autofill. Some numbers will increment and it could get a little confusing. Next slide. The registration information is on the left side of the worksheet. It'll have your company information and then your offer information towards the middle, which will, as shown here, will include your capacity and your pricing and some other offer information topics. And then the qualitative criteria responses are also on the same worksheet. They're just a little further to the right. And all those answers must be in a yes-no format. There is data validation control on those cells just to make sure you enter yes or no. turn it over to any questions.
So I think there was one question that kind of came up in terms of credit rating. So for SCE, on the form, it indicated a Fitch credit rating. Can you maybe elaborate more on the differences?
In terms of the collateral required for the contract, Section 5.1 states if you meet certain credit requirements, you don't have to post collateral, and we only use S&P and Moody's, so we don't use Fitch rating for that determination. We only use Fitch to determine ratings when it comes to issuers of letters of credit in the event that counterparties do not meet the ratings as specified in Section 5.1 to have the collateral waived.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other questions on the call?
Yes, we do have one question, and this comes from Jennifer Chamberlain. Jennifer, your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for giving us the walkthroughs. This has been helpful. Obviously, the qualifying capacity is one of the newer components of the solicitation this go-round. As a C&I provider who has, you know, really drastically different load reductions historically from customers, there's, in the C&I space, there's not a one-size-fits-all service account. I mean, would you be looking for us to do something like take our portfolio averages and say if you have 100 customers that can deliver 10 kilowatts, some of them deliver 5 kilowatts, or 10 megawatts, I mean, 100 customers giving it 10 megawatts, some of them, you know, are 10-kilowatt load reductions and others are 2 megawatts. Would you be thinking we should just be averaging those, or would you be trying to have us do multiple lines with different averages, or have you guys put any thoughts to how you would want to see that from us? Because I know we have a pretty diverse portfolio. Works well overall, but still trying to figure out how to get it in these kind of simplified formats.
Sure. So this is Netta. Thanks, Jennifer, for your question. I would say try to put multiple data items in each cell and use the optional notes fields as much as necessary to reflect the diverse portfolio attributes that you have. There are multiple options that are viable. List them all out. If you choose instead to do what the majority, vast majority of your resources, just write a note in the optional notes section indicating as such.
Okay. Thank you. I think so. And will you guys, I assume, will take some level of questions during or the process? I know you won't answer questions for sure after the 25th, so we're going to try and dive in here to the extent we're bidding earlier. But this oddly feels like it shouldn't be the hardest part of this, but feels like it might be the most unusual thing to deal with for all of us, or at least on my side.
Sure, yeah. Feel free to email the IIUs through their Graham RFO inboxes if there are any questions that pop up between now and when bids are due, and we'll be able to answer as many of them as we can. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
And speakers, there are no questions. I'm sorry, there are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and give it one more minute. If there's any other questions, feel free to ping via Skype. As previously indicated, you know, we are accepting questions up until the 25th, and so we as IOUs will coordinate on posting the FAQs on our different websites specific to the IOUs. Aside from that, if there are no other questions, we can go ahead and conclude, and I'll go ahead and pass this on to Annie.
I'd just like to thank everyone for asking questions and for listening in on our webinar today on DRAM 2020 RFO. And please submit your questions by the 25th to have a guaranteed answer and submit those to the RFO inboxes or for Southern California Edison to our Power Advocate site. Thank you.
Yeah. Operators, or any other comments you'd like to conclude on?
As at the moment, if there are no questions in queue, there are no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
This concludes the DRAM 5 Bidders Conference.
And that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.